Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Gospel according to John at chapter 4. We might read there, take up the reading at verse 25. Verse 25. You remember that the Lord has been speaking in a conversation with this woman at the well at Sychar. And he's told her about true worship. And she says in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou her? Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Amen. The Lord would help us, might especially note verses 28 and verse 29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, providence is an amazing thing, and sometimes that becomes very clear. And you can see that in the account before us. The Lord ordering everything perfectly so that the disciples return at just the right time. What would have happened had the disciples returned 5 or 10 minutes sooner than what they did? Well, they would have interrupted the conversation that the Lord Jesus was having with this woman. And it may be that there would not have been the opportunity for him to say that he was the Messiah, that I that speak unto thee am he, the Messiah. She was alone. It was easier to speak to her alone, especially when there were personal matters to deal with. You know, when I or the elders come visiting, sometimes it's difficult. We might want to say something, but really it's to one of the family. And sometimes it's awkward if there's more than one of the family there. If you really want to speak to someone personally, because personal dealings with people is really what we want, isn't it? And that's what the Lord was wanting with this woman, to press certain things home to her. And it would have been difficult to do that had there been the disciples there or other people there. Remember that. Don't be afraid of personal dealings with the elders as they visit. And sometimes it might seem that we snatch a very brief opportunity to say something. And you might think, why was it said then? Well, the problem is, it can be very difficult. If you really want to speak to someone, and there's others around. Too soon, well, it would have been a disaster. And what if they had come a few minutes later? Well, they may have missed the woman altogether. Now, as regards the woman, that would have made little difference. But actually, this was something that was important for the disciples to learn. And that's brought out when we hear of them being marveled. They're marveling, they're amazed that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You see, the Lord was wanting them to learn a lesson also. because he was different from the other rabbis. He was the Messiah, who had a biblical view of womanhood that sadly the rabbis had lost. It was said that the rabbis taught that they would not talk with their own wife in the street. And indeed, to instruct one's daughter-in-law was to play the fool. Yes, it may be they were trying to be discreet, and they didn't want to be seen to be talking to a woman as if they were in some way wanting to draw her in a lustful way. We have to be careful in our dealings with one another, that there is never any opportunity for sin. But they went far beyond these things. To think that a woman wasn't worthy of instruction. There's no point you learning the law. Only the men can learn the law. Only they're fit for such things. Well, the Lord has got a lesson for them. Don't you ever think that way. The woman, made in the image of God as much as a man, in need of redemption as much as the man, able to learn the truth as much as the man. Yes, having different roles in society, in the family, and in the church. How honouring is the biblical view of woman. Remember that, friends. When the feminists and others decry certain parts of Scripture, because it may say that a woman should not be preaching, or an elder in the church, or should be praying in the public gatherings, remember the Scriptures, Christ himself elevated the role of woman. And we should always have a high view of woman. If they'd been too late, they might have missed that important lesson. They were astonished. He's talking with a woman. That's bad enough. And then, of course, she's a Samaritan. What's the Lord teaching them? Well, ultimately, the gospel is not just for the Jews. It's for all men. They all need to hear the truth. Well, the disciples are wise and they do not ask questions, saying, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" They have a respect for Christ. He knows what he's doing. And we trust that they were learning a lesson from this incident. Well, the Lord's talking with the woman. The disciples arrive. And we read that the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and spoke to the men. We're told she left her water pot. That might just seem to be a passing remark that is hardly worth noting. And yet surely it's significant. There was a lesson there. It teaches us something. Because what we're seeing in her leaving the water pot and going into the city is the evidence of the change that grace brings in the soul. And therefore of the need that you and I have of ensuring that we have experienced such a change, that we have come to faith in the Messiah. Let's notice three things that we can learn about this woman from the water pot beside the well. First of all, she left her water pot because her priorities had changed. Her priorities had changed. You remember what her focus had been before her meeting with Christ and indeed during much of her discussion with Christ. She had come to draw water. Nothing wrong with that because it's one of the necessities of life. And we all have to deal with these things. Scripture never makes out that ordinary, everyday matters are to be ignored. Indeed, you remember that Paul has to write to the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians, some of them had got the idea that the coming of Christ was going to be very soon. And well, if he's going to come very soon, what's the point of working? We're too busy waiting for the coming of Christ. We're not bothered tending our fields. He might come at any moment. And Paul is to speak to them and say, stop that nonsense. If you will not work, you shall not eat. Don't be sponging off others. Get a right view of the coming of Christ and you get on with your work doing what you should be doing until he comes. We're making it an excuse, perhaps, for laziness. So the scripture doesn't decry ordinary, everyday activities. But what was the problem with this woman? That's all that she's thinking of. That's all her priorities revolve around. And as Christ speaks to her about the need of her soul and about the fact that he is living water, she just misunderstands him. And she continues to misunderstand him. And she's always seems to be thinking in worldly terms. Verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. How obvious is that? It's a spiritual lesson. What does she say? Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. How dull, how earthbound, how obsessed just with getting some water. Her whole thoughts are taken up with her earthly needs. Is that you, friend? Is that the way you are tonight? Yes, you have earthly needs. We all have. And we must acknowledge them and seek God's help and provision for them. But it's dangerous if that's all you're obsessed with. The world and the things of the world. What shall we eat? And what shall we wear? And what shall we do? What shall we have? Friend, isn't there more to life than that? Much more. And aren't there eternal issues that we have to deal with? This woman, she has no thought of these things. And you remember when the Lord, or when she rather, turns the conversation to spiritual matters, or to religious matters and to worship, she's still thinking in earthbound terms of where you worship rather than how you worship. Friends, beware of hewing out broken cisterns that can hold no water, being obsessed with these things. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? If you're not doing that, you're in a dangerous position. You're not following the Lord. You're busying yourself with things that will fade away, won't last, and you'll perish with them. You're in danger of hellfire if all your obsession is with the things of sense and of time. Oh, well, praise God. A change came over this woman. See how earthly things are now of little importance to her. We read that she left her water pot, the thing that was so precious to her, getting water. She's left it there. You notice it doesn't say she forgot her water pot. Indeed, she's going to come back and get it. But the point is, her mind is taken up with other things, with higher things, with better things, with spiritual things. And that is what is filling her mind. And so, yes, there is the water pot and the need for water, but she'll deal with that later. What's happened? She has discovered the Messiah. Come see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She has come to faith in him. She has discovered there is a fountain of living waters that quenches the deepest thirst of her soul. She has come to know something of the forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ the Saviour. She has come to faith in him. Christ, this man who is before her, she's come to see as the Christ. And in coming to him and to faith in him, she's found satisfaction for her soul that she could find nowhere else. She has new life, new interests, a peace, a real peace that she didn't have before. Her priorities are changed. Oh, she needs water. She'll get her water. But there's other things she has to do. And indeed, she is going to go away into the city and tell others, is not this the Christ? We've found the Messiah. That's what matters now. There's a Saviour, and he is my Saviour. What a wonderful thing. What does it mean to be converted? What does it mean to come to faith in Christ? Well, it means to undergo a radical change. It means to have had God working in the soul, renewing it, bringing it to life where before there was death, working faith. But faith's something you and I exercise. You believe. And as a person comes to believe and to entrust their soul to the Lord, so as if a light goes on and it floods the whole of the soul, it changes the whole of reality. Things are seen differently. If the power went out and we were in darkness, well, it wouldn't change the room here, would it? But we wouldn't see much. What a difference when the light goes on. You see things as they really are. Isn't that what happens when someone comes to Christ and light floods into the soul? And so Paul can say, there was once I knew all men according to the flesh, and I even knew Christ according to the flesh. And what happened then? He hated Christ. And he wanted to destroy the Christians because they loved Christ, and he didn't. And he said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Eternal realities. That's what matter to her now, not her water. She's a different view of Christ. He's not just a man or even a prophet. He is God's Saviour. And not just God, the God-appointed Saviour, but my Saviour. She's a new view of sin. She tried to hide her sin before, and now she'll acknowledge her sin. He told me all things whatsoever I did, including the things that I was trying to run away from. And so it is with God's people. Are you just living the way you've always lived? Are your priorities the way they've always been? You know, God's people here can see, we have been changed by grace. And that's what's needed. A revolution in the life. It might be a sudden thing, as this woman experienced. It might be something which is a more gradual thing, as it outworks in the life and the experience. But there's a change. Is there evidence of life? Spiritual life in your soul. That's what you need. You think of Matthew, the publican. A greedy, selfish man. And now he's changed, for he meets the Lord. He wants others to share in the good news. And like Zacchaeus, he will give away things that he has before collected. He will restore what was taken by fraud. Or you think of Saul of Tarsus, what a change. What are your priorities? And as you go on in this new year that God has given you, are you just going to go on with the same priorities which won't satisfy you? Should you not stop? Should you not come to get to know the Savior who can change your life, who can give you real and worthwhile priorities? Don't you need to find the well of living water that she found? Well, the water pot, her priorities had changed. Then notice, secondly, she left her water pot that it might be of service to Christ. Here's this woman. She has come to get water. We've noticed that. Most probably she had filled the large jar before Christ had begun to ask her for water. She comes to draw water. We can presume that she draws it, and then Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." That had started the conversation. And it would seem that she deliberately left the water pot there, and surely one reason would have been that it might do good to this man who had done good to her. He's still there. It's got hotter. He'll have got more thirsty during their conversation. He still has need. His disciples have come back. You see the generosity of spirit? Here's a woman who thinks of others, where before, no doubt, she was only thinking of herself. And she leaves this water pot that it might be of service to Christ and his disciples. She can return later, after she has gone on her errand to the city to spread the word. She can refill the jar later. Here's a woman whose life is now dedicated to serving the Lord. The Lord has satisfied her soul. What can she do? But well, whatever she can to satisfy his needs, even if it's only a drop of water. What a change. Rather than the frosty reception, "Why are you talking to me? We Samaritans don't have any dealings with you Jews, and you don't have any dealings with us. We've got no time for one another." Instead of that, "You can share the water that I have drawn." And although the Jews wouldn't normally drink from the water pot of a Samaritan, well, here's this man who was quite happy to ask and who has spoken to her in such an astonishing way, and she loves him, and she'll leave it all for Christ. Dear believer, when you came to Christ, as you came to him, was your heart not filled with gratitude to him for what he had done for you? He took you from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. He took the burden of sin from off your back. And he assured you your sins were forgiven for his sake. What was the evidence that you had come to him? Well, your desire was now to follow him. Are you following Christ? If you're not following Christ, there's evidence you've never really come to him. She was following him. She's serving him. That's God's people. They're called followers because they follow him. And their desire is to be where he is and to serve him in whatever way they can. And they don't do it in order to be saved, but because of what Christ has done for them in saving them. Remember that. So many people get confused. And they think being a Christian is doing certain things and not doing certain things. And if you do certain things, that makes you a believer. It makes you a Christian. All is well. It's as if they're saved because they do and don't do certain things. Friends, What does the scripture tell us? What does this instant tell us? That a believer, a follower, is one who is in a relationship with Christ, who is trusting in Christ. And the service and the dedication, the turning from certain things, from sin, and from things which are unhelpful spiritually, and the turning to God and serving God is not in order to win his favor, but because of the mercy of God received. He has blessed me with salvation, and therefore I will serve him. Remember that, friend. God's people know themselves but sinners, hellbound, and the best they do only adds to their guilt. And are thankful that Christ's blood cleanses from all sin. There she is, serving Christ. That's God's people, serving Christ. You who began serving him, are you still serving him? Do you still have the same zeal to serve him? Think of his goodness. He began with you, and he's continued with you, and he has preserved you up to now. Keep on serving him. And the more that you see you owe to Christ, the more you will want to be devoted to him. Think often of the words of the apostle in Romans 12. He's finished his doctrine, speaking of God's grace and salvation, the mercy of God to sinners. And he says, in effect, do you know what that means? Have you tasted of these things? If you have, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer yourselves a living sacrifice unto him, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by that renewing of your mind, that you might do that good and acceptable and pleasing will of God. If you have no gratitude to Christ for his death on the cross, if you have no desire to serve Christ, what does that show? It shows you're not following him. It shows you have no real faith. It means you're unconverted. It means you're in danger. It means that you've never really understood who Christ is and what he has done. Oh, friend, see, this is what you need. You need to come and know him. You need to let him speak to you. And you must embrace him for yourself as the Savior. She leaves her water pot because her priorities are changed and that it might be of use to Christ. Well, there's a third reason. She left her water pot to bring others to the Messiah. She leaves her water pot to bring others to the Messiah. We read that she left her water pot and went her way into the city, and she said to the men, you might think of why she's saying it to the men. Well, it was the middle of the day. The men would be relaxing in the shade, outside perhaps, but in the shade. And so she might come across them first. The women may have been busy in the home. And she says to them, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Notice her urgency and her attempts to bring others to the Messiah. She's left her water pot. Why? Well, these jars were heavy. It takes effort to lift that water pot, to put it on the head, and then to walk with it. They're big pots. They're heavy pots. You have to be careful in walking with them. It would take some while for her to get back to the city, but no, she is in a hurry. There's an urgency there. She wants to share with others this good news that she has found that the Messiah has come and he's in the vicinity. Or that they might find what I have found. That they might discover what I now know. Is not this the Christ? And is he not passing through? Is he not in a journey? If she lingers, if she hangs around for a while, well, it may be that she'll enjoy the company of Christ, but no one else will hear. And if she goes back with her water pot, it'll take her perhaps twice as long as her journey otherwise would. And perhaps the Lord will be up and away. Or she's in a hurry because she wants to share this message. She wants to say to them, come. Come back with me, see this man. Is not this the Christ? Friends, we urge you, we compel you to think about your need of Christ. God in his mercy has spared you to see another here. You didn't deserve it, but he has given you it. But our heart's desire is that you would know the Saviour. At present, you're on a broad road that leads to destruction. Your soul is perishing. You're under the sentence of condemnation. At any moment, you may go over that cliff from which there is no return. Your body buried in the earth. Your soul hastening away to a lost eternity. What is to become of you? Do you not need the Saviour? You will soon be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. How will you endure that judgment if you have a sin, one sin against you? You'll be condemned. Sin is infinite guilt against an infinitely holy God. One breach of the law makes you a criminal. One breach of the law will condemn you forever. Friend, we urge you. And that's why God's people urge you. And that's why they can never stop urging you. Life is uncertain. Hasn't that lesson been taught us in recent days? How uncertain life is. You think of that tragedy of the Ayalair. No one ever thought that would happen. Who knows what may happen to you? And all may be going well, and yet to be without Christ is to perish forever. Oh, she was urgent. Dear believer, do you feel that urgency? Never lose a sense of that urgency. When you think of your family, when you think of your neighbours, your workmates without Christ, let there be an urgency that will stir you up to prayer and yes, speaking a word in season to them. And let others know this is what matters and really nothing else does. You know the Saviour. If you don't, surely this is the best way to begin a new year. come and see this man. Is not this the Christ? Listen to who he is and trust in him. Notice her urgency. Notice also her humility. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Before she had hidden her sin, she had sought isolation, perhaps because of her notoriety, but now she'll speak out. And yes, no doubt she briefly explained what had happened and how he'd exposed herself to her own soul, shown her own self. If you think of the likes of Paul, if you read his testimonies, he's very clear and open and frank. He doesn't go into all the gory details, but he's clear and open and frank about what he was like before his unconverted days, how foolish he was, how rebellious he was, that he might commend Christ. Sometimes people think God's people are being self-righteous. And they say to them, you know that's sinful. You shouldn't be doing that. You need the Saviour. And they think, you're just self-righteous. You're having a go at me. Friend, that's not true. If you knew your own hearts, you would never speak to us again. Because our hearts are full of sin and corruption and lusts. Paul was a great sinner. God's people find and feel themselves great sinners. They know they're great sinners. But they know Christ is a great Saviour. His blood cleanses from all sin. And they're saying to you, that's what you need. I'm just like you, a fellow sinner, but I found a Saviour. That's what she was like. Dear believer, make sure as you speak to others, you speak in such terms that it's made clear you're just a sinner saved by grace, but thankful for God's grace. Notice her urgency, notice her humility, notice also her wisdom. Come see a man that told me all that I did. Is not this the Christ? Notice she doesn't say too much, but what she does say flows from her personal experience. What do we say to you, friend, who don't have Christ? It's simply this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I found that. All God's people have found that. That's what you need. Here is the Messiah. Dear believer, perhaps you feel you can't say much. That's always one thing you can say. You can tell of how he has satisfied your soul. You might not be able to explain things very well and press upon things very well, but you can see the Lord has done me good, and I wish you knew him. That's my prayer. She doesn't say too much, but she brings these men to Christ. Come and see a man. Come and learn more of the Saviour. Come and be taught by him. Well, isn't that our desire, that under the means of grace, souls would come to Christ? And you'll notice also, she doesn't force her views. Rather, what she does is she stirs their curiosity. Is not this the Christ? You could almost translate that, it couldn't be the Christ, could it? And that's said, expecting almost a negative answer. It's not really the Christ, is it? But it's said not that she's doubting, but just to stir them up, to get them thinking. You know, people don't always want a lecture. And sometimes a little question like that can do more good than a big lecture. Think about it. Could this be the Christ? Is this the one that you really need? You see, often people understand a lot of the truth, but their will remains obstinate. Remember that. And if you're without Christ, no doubt you understand much of the truth. Ask God to renew your will. Because there is often where much of the problem lies. A stubborn refusal. I don't know if I want this, although I know I really need this. That's a dangerous thing. Oh, submit to that Christ who is able to save your soul. She left her water pot because she was concerned for souls. And friend, we leave you tonight telling you we are concerned for your souls. And our prayer is that you would be like the men of that city, going out to find out more about Christ. Come see a man who showed me all things, whatever I did. Is not this the Christ? Isn't he? You know he is. Well, trust in him for yourself. Let us pray.